This is WPFP AM Park Falls, a Civic Media radio station.
A little something to make me sweeter. Oh,
This is 103.1 FM.
Shine.
103.1 FM.
This week on Viewpoints.
They tuck their tail in, by the way, so that they can't get caught. So it's not only a fearful reaction, it's also a playful reaction.
Decoding the weird behaviors our pets do on a daily basis. Then,
what happened this year with the NCAA Women's Tournament, it just was kind of like the right place at the right time and everything boomed all at once.
How did women's basketball suddenly get so popular? I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Still looking for the perfect Mother's Day gift? Check out Macy's Gift Finder. It's easy. In just a couple clicks, you'll find personalized gift ideas from top brands that are perfect for the beauty guru, the spa lover, or even the new mom. Plus, Macy's has great gifts for every budget, so you can go as big or small as you want. Find the Mother's Day gift that says, "I love your style," on Macy's.com/giftfinder. Give love today at Macy's.
Progressive asks, what do a middle school slumber party?
Let's stay up all night.
Yeah!
A sleep-deprived girl. An early morning paper route. And a poorly thrown rolled-up newspaper have in common?
Hey, my window!
They can become a fast-breaking news story.
Sorry, Mr. Thompson!
Bundle your home and auto with Progressive for great savings and round-the-clock protection.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
In the U.S. today, 2 out of 3 Americans own a pet. According to a Pew Research survey conducted last April, about a third of households own more than one. If you own a pet, whether it's a dog, cat, bird, fish, or even something more exotic, there's probably been several times when their behavior leaves you dumbfounded. It can be anything from how they greet you to the sounds they make, or even the ways in which they position themselves when they're eating, napping, or peeing. Even though you spend almost every day with them, sometimes it can be hard to figure out the deeper meaning behind these quirks. Take cats, for example, a domesticated species we've been keeping as pets for more than 10,000 years.
We have co-evolved to understand each other in ways that we might not realize that we're understanding each other. A cat will look to its human to see if something's okay to approach in a room. They understand your body language and your behavior. They understand if you're sad. They can pick up on your emotions. And when they see that you're sad, if you have a cat that you've bonded with, they'll kind of bump you. And we have an instinct to reach out and pet them when they do that. It's very hard. I mean, if you think about it, not very many things can come up and bump us and we'll want to reach out and pet it. But we've evolved with our cats to want to do that.
That's Eleanor Spicer Rice, an entomologist and the author of Your Pet's Secret Lives, The Truth Behind Your Pet's Wildest Behaviors. Spicer Rice is an expert in studying insects, animals, and other living organisms and the deep connections we have with these creatures. She details how these interactions with our own pets create a physiological change.
And when we look into their eyes, we produce the same chemical, oxytocin, that you produce when you're bonding with your human child. It is this feel-good, wonderful chemical. And when you start making oxytocin, your cat starts making oxytocin in their bodies, and you have this positive feedback loop that you two are giving to each other to feel good together. And your cat can do that for you. Your dog can do that for you too. Your cat's a little bit better at recognizing these signals like this, but it's amazing.
Spicer Rice also explains how certain items that our pets love have a deeper explanation. Ever wonder why your cat seems to be forever obsessed with catnip?
If the leaves on a catnip plant are damaged, the cat has an uncontrollable urge to bite it and roll in it. And it makes them really stoned. It fools around with their neurons. It makes them feel really good and blissed out until their senses get overwhelmed after about 15 minutes, and then they have to stop. And then they can go back and do it some more. But what they found is that catnip is actually an excellent pest repellent. So those cats who roll around on catnip are less likely to get mosquito bites. They're less likely to be bothered by insect pests that feed on blood. And so their crazy affection for catnip and the way that it makes them feel actually is helping them to survive out in the wild.
Just like cats, there's a lot of weird behaviors that dogs do that owners don't quite understand. Spicer Rice studied some of these weird phenomenons, like why dogs tend to linger and turn around multiple times when going to the bathroom.
Sometimes we're watching them and they're like, could you just go ahead and go, you know, because the dog is spinning around and not going to the bathroom. And then all of a sudden it just stops and goes, right? Well, it turns out that that is not a random behavior at all. It turns out that when dogs stop to go to the bathroom, they align their bodies with the north-south axis of Earth's electromagnetic field. And the reason for that is because they detect Earth's electromagnetic field, and the animals that detect the field feel most comfortable when they're aligned with that. So cows can detect Earth's electromagnetic field. So if you're driving on a still day and you drive by a cow pasture, you'll see that they're usually facing the same direction. If you check out that direction, it's almost always aligned with the north-south direction of the field. And since I've learned this, I have checked out my dogs as they go to the bathroom. I have two dogs. And I would say 9 times out of 10 or more, when they stop to go to the bathroom, they are facing a north-south direction, no matter which direction our street is on.
This alignment with the electromagnetic field of Earth helps them feel the most comfortable and at ease. Humans don't have the same sense. This is part of the reason why dogs are just so good at navigating.
They're able to get home from long distances if they've gotten lost over terrain that they've never traveled before. And they can find us, even if we never gave them a map and we didn't show them how. And it can't be smell. It's too far. So we always thought that they could. But watching them go to the bathroom, we've actually learned that they actually can detect it. And that's one of the ways that we've used to see that they can detect it.
Another odd quirk? With both dogs and cats, you may notice that their tails are always so expressive. But Spicer Wright says these patterns are more nuanced than you may think. She breaks down some of the tail wagging language in dogs.
If they're really, really excited to see you, they'll wag their tail in a circle. And that's just like so excited they can barely handle it. But one of the most amazing things I learned is that it's not just if they're wagging their tail, it's what direction they're wagging in. Because like with humans, the right side of the brain controls the left side of the body. The left side of the brain controls the right side of the body. And with dogs, the right side of the brain is that part of the body that controls like feeling nervous. It's linked to feeling, having energy and feeling nervous or sad or fight or flight. So if a dog feels those things, they will wag their tail to the left. The left side of the brain controls that side of the body, the right side of the body, but it's linked to those feel good, calm, and happy feelings. So if a dog is feeling good and calm and happy, they will wag their tails to the right.
Who would have thought? There's so much we still don't know about why our pets act in certain ways. This is just the surface of some of the interesting behaviors of the animals we love. To find out more about Eleanor Spicer Rice and all of our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. Also, check out her book, Your Pet's Secret Lives, The Truth Behind Your Pet's Wildest Behaviors, now available online and in select bookstores. For more behind the scenes and to support our show, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, is 2024 the year of women's sports? When Viewpoints returns.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
The fact that we saw remission in 37% of patients at week 3 after just a single administration is something that's really encouraging to us.
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org.
At Progressive, we know how much you love your recreational vehicles, so we decided to record this commercial in an RV.
With a family on vacation.
Mom, who are these people?
Oh, that's Flo and Jamie. They're recording a commercial, sweetie.
Don't they do that in the studio?
Normally.
No.
But we wanted to feature a family who bundled their home and RV and saved with Progressive.
Yeah, it looks like you're all out of chips.
Okay, I think we'll just drop you off at the next gas station.
Bundle your home and other vehicles with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best? Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil fiber powders help promote your daily digestive health using a plant-based fiber called psyllium. The gelling action of this special fiber traps and removes waste so you can feel lighter and more energetic. Metamucil, promoting digestive health for a better you. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Every year, sports fans across the country tune into March Madness, watching 64 men's basketball teams duke it out until only one remains. Like years past, millions watched the games, made brackets, and cheered on their favorite teams. Only this time, all eyes were on the women, with standout players like Angel Reese, Juju Watkins, and Caitlin Clark to root for. Viewers were more invested in the women's tournament this year than ever before. In fact, for the first time in history, the women's championship game drew higher viewership than the men's, averaging a whopping 19 million viewers throughout the broadcast. And even now that the tournament's over, people just can't stop talking about women's basketball. Lindsay Darvin, assistant professor in the Department of Sport Management at Syracuse University, says the recent hype is from the Caitlin Clark effect.
It's happening fast right now because of this Caitlin Clark effect that people like to call it. And Caitlin Clark has a lot to do with it, obviously. Her popularity is helping the game grow and helping women's sport grow. But it's been kind of a steady climb to this point. I think a few things are at play. Social media is huge right now for women, especially women athletes and women teams. And women athletes are better at using social media. And women fans enjoy using social media for their sport content more than fans of men's sports. So it's been a few different things, but I definitely think that some of that organic marketing ability has been incredibly helpful. And now you see linear TV catching on, but also streaming is catching on too. And women's sports are being broadcast through streaming more than on linear TV. And that's been helpful as well. So it's almost like a, let's not wait until everyone else catches up. We're going to grow this ourselves. And then through what happened this year with the NCAA Women's Tournament, it just was kind of like the right place at the right time. And everything boomed all at once.
If you're unfamiliar, Caitlin Clark broke the NCAA all-time scoring record this year and was the first overall pick at the WNBA draft. She's been a big part of the elevated media attention, but this isn't the first time women's basketball has been all over social media. 3 years ago, the women's tournament went viral online, but not for the reason you'd think.
There was a student, a woman student, at the NCAA tournament, basically showing the dichotomy between being a male athlete and a female athlete, showing that the men had all of this incredible weight room afforded to them, and the women had literally a small weight rack that you would find at a really bad hotel available to them. And they clearly had the room for it. They clearly had kind of all of the bells and whistles, and they were equal competitors. And there was just a massive viral social firestorm. And with that came a huge uproar from partners, from fans, from players from around the world, professional, college, you know, parents of players saying, what is happening that the NCAA, who clearly is able to support their men's tournament in this way, can't support their women's tournament in this way?
That's Thayer Laviel, executive vice president of The Collective, the women's division of Wasserman. Fast forward to the following season, and women were allowed to use the March Madness logo for the first time. The NCAA also expanded access to services and amenities, ensuring it was equal to the men's teams. Lavielle credits these changes to the 77% sponsorship increase that year, as well as record attendance at games. When looking at why women's sports hasn't reached the same level of success as men's, Darvin says it has nothing to do with interest. The interest has always been there, but the support from organizations hasn't.
The NCAA has essentially suppressed the market for women's sport since the passage of Title IX. They've always been a little bit fearful about what the growth of women's sport is going to mean for men's sport, and they didn't think there was space for both. I think what people need to understand is it has kind of been this intentional suppression of the market because there has been fear that there's not enough revenue to go around for everybody, which we are seeing is just absolutely not true.
Speaking of revenue, elite women's sports is projected to make over $1 billion this year, up 300% from 2021. But while women's sports is clearly an extremely profitable business, the athletes aren't being paid as such. During her rookie WNBA year, Caitlin Clark will make just $76,000. Compare this to Victor Wembanyama, the first overall pick in the NBA draft, who will earn $12 million.
I think what that did was really land with fans who just came into college basketball and really saw her and others' prowess on the court to say, wow, these women can actually play ball. And what do you mean that's what she's making, you know? And kind of the outrage of that.
This disparity is an issue across all of women's sports. In 2016, the National Women's Soccer Team fought the U.S. Soccer Federation for equal pay, even though they won two consecutive World Cups and generated more income than the men. To combat these pay inequities, female athletes are forced to find other sources of income, such as social media sponsorships, NIL deals, or even playing overseas. Unlike male athletes, they can't make a living solely from playing their sport.
We did a study recently with Royal Bank of Canada, with RBC, that looked at the value of a woman athlete. And what we found was that on average, across many different sports leagues and teams, men make 21 times what women make on the field of play. And so what that means is that women athletes have to make 82% of their income off the field of play. So imagine going to your day job, and then you have to go get a job to make 82% of your income.
While part of the massive wage gap can be attributed to women's sports making less money, their value is climbing by the day. Now that the division is getting more organizational support and media coverage, athletes will have a better chance to succeed, both in the NCAA and professionally. Lavielle says the next step is to add more leagues and teams, which will expand the business and give more female athletes a chance to go pro.
Another study we did last year, actually, we looked at the coverage number going up of less than 4% of women's coverage or sports media coverage dedicated to women's sports going to 16%. What was really interesting about that study was actually that 53% of D1 athletics were actually women's competitions. And then when you looked at the professional number of competitions for, you know, the number of competitions for women's sports versus men's sports, only 8% were women's. And that's just because there aren't enough places for people to graduate to. So you have more incredible WNBA possible players than you have WNBA positions available. So the more that we're able to increase leagues and teams, the more we'll see some of these superstar athletes coming out of college in tons of different areas of athletics that we'll be able to watch and continue to cheer on.
She adds that fans have the power to make a difference too. If there's a women's sports team or particular athlete you want to support, the best way to do it is to go and watch them play. Women's games are typically cheaper and more accessible, but that could easily change in the coming months and years. While most of the recent buzz has revolved around basketball, it's important to recognize that interest in all women's sports has been climbing steadily for years. And now that these teams and athletes are becoming more mainstream, they'll need our support to keep the momentum going. It turns out the Caitlin Clark effect is creating a movement that extends far beyond just basketball.
look no further than professional women's hockey, right? So they are, you know, breaking records almost every game. It's hard to keep up with all the records that they're breaking in terms of the amount of fans that are attending these events. I think that they just hit 18 or 19,000 fans at one of their events, right? So it's, yeah, women's hockey is definitely coming up. I would say even like a women's lacrosse is definitely seeing a lot of growth. It's going to carry over to the Olympics as well, which are coming up. So the momentum is really great right now for this and all of this growth. Traditionally, women athletes see really great coverage numbers during the Olympics. So that's probably just going to continue to increase with the Summer Olympics coming up in Paris. So yes, it's transcending all sport. It's not just women's basketball. And obviously women's soccer has been at the top for a very long time. And we're going to continue to see that grow as well too. The growth has been there for all women's sports. And what's so great about women's athletics is once one sport does well, we tend to see that it carries over to the others.
To find out more about Lindsay Darvin, Thayer LaVielle, and all of our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Grace Galanti. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment. Each week on the Viewpoints Radio podcast, you'll hear from our leading experts on an important topic within education, history, society, psychology, and more.
If you can show a good money personality, one where you've got good values around how you acquire, how you use, and how you manage money, those patterns will be passed along generations.
Viewpoints Radio podcast is produced by our team of award-winning journalists. Subscribe today by searching Viewpoints Radio wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Roll Charmin, ultra strong when you drop in the beat. It cleans way less effort on your seat. Yeah, roll it, drop it, yeah, roll it, drop it. Charmin flows extra strong from the road. Get your butt hella clean while you're sitting on the bowl, yeah. It's all you need for that bathroom groove. Get you in and out without nothing to prove.
Charmin ultra strong cleans better so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. How many times a day do you use the internet? For some of us, the habit is so second nature that it can be hard to come up with an exact number. Whether we're logging on from a computer or a smartphone, the internet makes it possible to work, study, shop, travel, find information, and more. For the average person, this access to home high-speed internet costs between $60 to $90 per month, according to a 2022 Consumer Reports study that analyzed 18,000 internet bills. Out of this sample, the median price was $75 per month. For millions of low-income Americans, this steep price for service just doesn't fit into the budget. However, for the last two-plus years, one saving grace has been a federal program called the Affordable Connectivity Act. The initiative, which is overseen by the Federal Communications Commission, has provided eligible households with a discount of up to $30 per month for at-home internet access. Since the beginning of 2022, this program has helped 23 million low-income families gain access to the many available resources online. The White House reports that about half of the participants are military families, one quarter are Black, and another quarter are Latino. The data also shows that roughly 14 million Americans over the age of 50 benefit as well. Despite the success of this program in helping more people get online, the Affordable Connectivity Act is set to run out of funds and shut down later this month unless lawmakers can push through new funding. For years, there's been a lot of debate around the government subsidizing internet because it's seen as a vital basic utility in today's world. Imagine trying to get by at work or school without any access to the web. If new funding doesn't come through soon, many of the most vulnerable among us may soon face this struggle. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment.
Since 1989, Trent Reznor has been one of the most exciting voices in music. His band Nine Inch Nails was voted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and has sold more than 20 million records, so that alone would be enough to make him a music legend. But in 2010, Reznor and collaborator Atticus Ross joined the shortlist of the elite movie score composers with their music for David Fincher's The Social Network, which won them an Academy Award. Since then, Reznor and Ross have composed a number of incredible scores. They made the music for HBO's Watchmen miniseries and won a second Oscar with the Pixar movie Soul. But my favorite of their scores comes from the new movie from director Luca Guadagnino, Challengers. Challengers stars Zendaya, Mike Feist, and Josh O'Connor as a trio of star-crossed tennis-playing lovers. The movie puts the sexuality of Guadagnino's film Call Me By Your Name into the sturdy structure of a contemporary sports movie. The resulting film is terrific, and the string that holds the whole thing together is the score from Reznor and Ross. A bass-thumping, dance house-inspired techno score, Reznor and Ross's work adds energy and excitement, both to the sports aspect and the charged relationships of the film. It's often accompanied by exquisitely shot images in super slow motion, and the combination had me absolutely enthralled whenever they came together over the film's 2 hours and 11 minutes. As with all great scores, the music from Challengers is also absolutely great to listen to on its own. I've listened to it when I'm working and when I'm out on a run. No matter what you're doing or what you're watching, one sure way to make it feel a whole lot more exciting would be to throw on the Challenger score. I'm Evan Rook.
Flo here from Progressive to tell you how you get more than great savings with us. You get customer service access through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
That's a lot of ways I can get in touch with you.
I see what's going on here. You can't name favorites, but I'm your number one customer.
Actually, we offer all our customers these ways to contact us.
Uh-huh. I'm sure you give just any customer your personal...
company.
...contact info.
Well, you did call us more than any other customer this year. So in that sense, you are our number one customer.
Get help from Progressive through the website, app, chat, or phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Are you wet shaving? You'll get razor bumps.
Nah, Pops. I'm good with Gillette Skin Guard. How long you been growing that beard Mama hates anyway?
Since 77. I shaved and got ingrown so bad.
That's why I use the Gillette Skin Guard razor, face scrub, shave gel, and moisturizer. So I don't have to worry about new razor bumps or shaving irritation.
Gillette Skin Guard, huh? Your mama's gonna love this one.
The best a man can get keeps getting better with Gillette Skin Guard. Buy now at a retailer near you.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Shel Lustig.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, are we seeing the downfall of nursing homes?
This has been a problem for decades. This is not a problem that affects other people. It will affect you or your family at some point in the future.
But first, uncovering the male experience of military sexual trauma.
And individuals have told me that they'd rather go back to combat than have to face what they've encountered in terms of their MST.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
Still looking for the perfect Mother's Day gift? Check out Macy's Gift Finder. It's easy. In just a couple clicks, you'll find personalized gift ideas from top brands that are perfect for the beauty guru, the spa lover, or even the new mom. Plus, Macy's has great gifts for every budget, so you can go as big or small as you want. Find the Mother's Day gift that says, "I love your style," on Macy's.com/giftfinder. Give love today at Macy's.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
The fact that we saw remission in 37% of patients at week 3 after just a single administration is something that's really encouraging to us.
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org. Sexual trauma is a heavy topic that can feel uncomfortable or even inappropriate to discuss in public. However, keeping these conversations behind closed doors only amplifies the stigma that burdens so many survivors. This week, we're shining a light on the sexual trauma that occurs within the military and the help that's available. Dr. Amy Street is the National Director for Military Sexual Trauma at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. She highlights how the VA's program offers recovery resources for anyone who's experienced military sexual trauma.
Military sexual trauma, and you'll hear me call it MST as an abbreviation, that refers to any kind of unwanted sexual activity that happens during military service. So anytime someone is involved in a sexual activity against their will or when they can't say no, it includes experiences of sexual assault and it includes experiences of sexual harassment. It unfortunately can impact all types of veterans.
MST could happen in so many different ways. One-on-one, group settings, instances of hazing, instances of racism. Someone is targeted because of their race or ethnicity or cultural background. It just depends on a case-by-case basis.
That's Dr. Jonathan Yahalom, assistant clinical professor at UCLA and clinical psychologist at the VA. Since the path to healing is different for everyone, the VA's MST program offers a wide range of services that are all free for veterans.
And we do that in an environment that's welcoming and that's sensitive to MST survivors' unique needs. I want to make sure that veterans know that the eligibility for that free care is very expansive. So individuals don't need to have reported their MST experience at the time it happened. They don't need any documentation that it occurred in order to receive this free care.
Which removes a huge barrier to care that's long been an issue for veterans trying to access healthcare. In many instances, a lack of injury documentation during active service can prevent treatment coverage for the same injury as a veteran. Removing the need for documentation is especially helpful for the men who are seeking help. While MST is prevalent among women in the military, the 1 in 50 men who also report their experience aren't as visible. And sadly, this lack of visibility has fed into a lack of research around the male experience of MST and unique approaches to treatment. Yahalom, who's been studying men with MST, says it's very difficult to find male participants for research because many would rather avoid acknowledging it altogether.
Talking about one's history of MST can be such a distressing experience. And individuals have told me that they'd rather go back to combat than have to face what they'd, have to recall what they've encountered in terms of their MST. And an expression like that is indicative of just how distressing it is to face one's history. So avoidance is one reason, at least, why this topic hasn't been studied as much. It's just, it's so pronounced among men.
Avoidance doesn't always look the same. It can manifest in many different ways.
Interpersonal avoidance in terms of avoiding interacting with other people or having intimate encounters with other people, looking at people in the eyes. Intrapersonal avoidance, having difficulty to figuratively or literally look at oneself in the mirror. Avoidance in terms of substance use, avoidance in terms of incarceration, homelessness, difficulty to be employed. It's just so pronounced.
This avoidant behavior can also lead to suicide for those who are no longer able to cope with the trauma, which is why medical intervention is so critical. Unfortunately, someone who's using avoidance to cope is also likely to not seek treatment.
One thing that we often hear from our male survivors is that this experience might have been harder for them to come to terms with or even to understand or make sense of it, because our understanding of men's experience of sexual violence has really lagged behind our understanding of women's experience and sexual violence. Men's experiences can often get overlooked, and it's so important that we're here for all survivors.
Sexual assault in any situation is a serious and traumatic event. But Yahalom has found that there are other considerations that need to be recognized when it occurs specifically within the military.
Because in a setting where service members are encouraged to depend on the military institution, and the military is often seen as an extension of one's family, there can be in instances of MSD across the gender spectrum, a profound sense of institutional betrayal, because this happened in a setting where people are encouraged to really depend on the institution.
And then another layer is added when the victim is male. The military is known for many different cultures, for better or worse, with one common idea being that it's a test of manhood. Yahalom says this notion, when paired with the experience of MST, can lead to extreme distress and confusion for male survivors around what it means to be a man.
For men who've been raped by other men, or men who've been sexually assaulted, or very severely harassed by other men, there's commonly a belief that if a real man can't get raped, or if only I'd been stronger as a man, then I could have prevented this. For men who've been raped by women, there's a common belief that a man can't be raped by a woman. For men who've been raped or who've been sexually assaulted, as it felt like they've been targeted because of who they are, their identity as a Black man or a Hispanic man, or as an instance of racial trauma, there's all these questions about identity. And all of this arises or is in context to broader military culture about promoting oneself as a man and demonstrating one's manliness in military culture.
In his own practice, Yahalom's seen many of his male patients deal with extreme shame and loneliness that's connected with this question of their identity as a man. And so, through both his own and others' research, Yahalom has discovered that gathering these men together for group therapy could help create a sense of community for an experience that often feels so shameful and isolating.
Group therapy is kind of an anomaly in terms of working with men with histories of MST. Because so many are so avoidant, the idea of being in a group setting with other individuals who recognize that I, as a veteran, have this history of MST can be one of the most distressing things. But it also really address one of the most alienating experiences is the belief that many people believe that they are the only people that have a history of MST. And even if an individual's told the statistics of how many men have been impacted, there's still this underlying sense of being alone.
So to be in a room where they can look in the eyes of other men who've shared similar experiences can really lighten the weight of feeling alienated. Group therapy can also be really impactful for survivors who feel as though they were targeted because of their race.
That, in terms of group therapy, can be a very transformative experience for someone, let's say, who is Black and believes that they were targeted or experienced being targeted because they were Black, and finds himself in a room with other Black men with similar histories of MST. And to be able to say, I wasn't alone, and I can talk about this experience, both of the sexual trauma and the racial trauma, be able to articulate what it's like to live as a Black man subsequent to this history, can be a very alleviating experience as well.
And even though Yahalom's research has shown these benefits of group therapy, it's not the only effective way to treat men with MST. Every person has different needs. And so while a group setting could help address the feelings of shame and create a sense of community, other methods may be more beneficial for certain people.
From my perspective, I think that one of the most important things to keep in mind in treating men with histories of MST is to address and understand the shame that accompanies this history, the shame and the stigma and the lack of trust, finding a way to help men articulate these issues, I think, is the treatment itself, or can be such a huge component of treatment. So whether that's addressing shame and stigma and difficulty with trust individually or in a group setting, I don't think it matters as much as being able to put into focus those experiences and how distressing those experiences could be in whatever form of treatment that one's given.
There's even options for survivors who aren't yet ready to openly talk about their experience with another person. The VA has developed a mental health support mobile app called Beyond MST, which is available to download for free.
It's secure. And it was developed specifically for those who experienced military sexual trauma with their input. So it includes a lot of information about military sexual trauma and its impacts, and a lot of information about available resources, and also has a lot of tools that can help survivors with any day-to-day challenges they might be experiencing. So this can be really useful as a self-help option for someone who's not interested now or not interested ever in seeking formal treatment, or it can be an adjunct to formal treatment for those who want to have a little extra support with them on their cell phones whenever they need it.
Street says the MST program's goal is to offer as many options as possible so that everyone has an opportunity to heal from their trauma. You can find more information about Dr. Amy Street, Dr. Jonathan Yahalom, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield. This segment is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Coming up, why is elderly care taking a hit? When Radio Health Journal returns.
At Skechers, we put the S in comfort. Now, I know you're probably spelling comfort in your head and asking yourself, wait a second, is that possible? Or am I just a really bad speller? Look, I don't know your spelling aptitude, but Skechers most definitely put the S in comfort, because Skechers is the comfort technology company, and Skechers has developed fits and features that change everything you know about comfort. We're talking fits like Relax Fit, Arch Fit, Massage Fit, Stretch Fit, and more. And comfort features like Skechers' exclusive world-famous air-cooled memory foam, or hands-free Skechers slip-ins, the ultimate in comfort and convenience. It's footwear you just step into and they're on, just like that. No touching your shoes, no bending down. Come on, how comfortable is that? Now, if you still don't believe me, and you don't understand how Skechers put the S in comfort, there's only one thing left to do. Go try your own pair of Skechers. See for yourself how Skechers put the S in comfort. Find Skechers, including slip-ins, at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Aging is a fact of life that comes with wisdom and experience, but also greater health risks. Nursing homes provide an invaluable service for anyone whose family can no longer help take care of them. As of 2022, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services estimate that more than 1 million people reside in these facilities. With so many relying on these services, Dr. Michael Barnett says the constant closure of nursing homes is a big issue that's not a surprise to those who've been paying attention.
This has been a problem for decades. We have also been kind of collectively, politically uninterested or unwilling to tackle the oncoming issue of a huge bulge in the number of people who will need long-term care as the baby boomer generation very rapidly approaches